Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Good morning. It's lovely to see everyone, and even fuller church this morning. That's great. Thank you for everybody in participating so far and for the reading that we've just received. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Only Luke tells this short but radical and powerful story of Jesus staying in Bethany, some 2 miles from Jerusalem, with the sisters Martha and Mary. It's a small human incident with a message for us all. And there's a clear structure and progression in this story. We have Martha opening her door, extending hospitality to Jesus. Mary listens intently to Jesus' teaching. Martha attends to the duties of hospitality. Martha complains that Mary has neglected her duties of hospitality. And Martha asks Jesus to instruct Mary to help her. Jesus responds that Mary has chosen the better activity. At one level, there is a message here about the choices we face in everyday life, what we prioritize. There are 3 people in this story: Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And many expositions on this text predominantly focus on Mary and Martha posing the question, are you like Mary or are you like Martha? In our passage, we certainly find the sisters responded to Jesus in 2 different ways. Mary was seated. She chose spending time with Jesus over cooking in the kitchen. She was drawn by Jesus' call and invitation to come, to listen, to sit at his feet and learn. Contemplative, she sat quietly at Jesus' feet and drank in every word that he spoke. Martha, on the other hand, actively bustled and dashed around the kitchen, irritated and frustrated with her sister because she was making no attempt to cook lunch with her. You can almost sense she might be puffing and sighing, banging the pots, trying to make Mary feel guilty. The word used to describe her mood suggested she was angry at Mary for her selfishness and indignant with Jesus for allowing Mary to sit at his feet rather than join her in the kitchen. In short, she chose work over worship. Maybe you can relate to Martha when on one occasion you've had friends around for dinner. You ended up spending the evening focused on cooking and cleaning and frustratingly missed the opportunity to spend time with your guests, the people you invited. And what's more, nobody came to help you in the kitchen and the work that had to be done. Or maybe you can relate to Mary. Maybe an occasion when you've woken up and the day seems so busy, seems so overwhelming. There is a mess in the kitchen to clear from the night before. There are many chores and tasks that lie ahead. But you simply decide to stop, sit down, and spend time in prayer and read the scriptures. Strengthened and encouraged, the day ahead now looks quite different. Maybe part of you identifies with Mary. You want to worship, you want to spend time with Jesus. But another part of you identifies with Martha. Life is busy. There is so much to do. There are so many distractions. There is a constant tension. Joanna Weaver thought thought-provokingly captures this very real tension in her book and aptly names it Having a Mary Heart in the Martha World. So what was Jesus' response in Luke's passage? We find in verses 41 to 42 these words, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus affirmed Mary's priority of spending time with him rather than doing things for him. Jesus uses one word to defend Mary. She has chosen. She has chosen. What did she choose? Mary chose the one thing in verse 42. What is the one thing? It's not about doing more. It was fellowship with Jesus. Martha, on the other hand, carried on cooking. There was no pause. But the passage implies what is better was available to both Mary and Martha. Both had a choice to make. But note, Jesus lovingly corrects Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, there is a warmth, a kindness here, captured in one translation, my dear Martha, my dear Martha. The problem with Martha is not that she is busy serving and providing hospitality. Clearly, hospitality is important and it's a good thing. For Jesus commends this kind of service in the preceding passage, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The problem with Martha is not her serving, but rather she is distracted and worried. In verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Verse 41, you are worried and upset about many things. In Greek, the word translated distracted means cumbered or tangled up. This is the only place it is used in the Bible. Some commentators suggest it has the connotation of being pulled and dragged in different directions. Martha's distraction and worry leave no room for the most important aspect of hospitality, the gracious attention to the guest. In fact, she breaks all rules of hospitality by trying to embarrass her sister in front of her guests, by asking her guests to intervene in the family dispute. And what's more, she goes further and accuses Jesus of not caring about her. Verse 40, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's worry and distraction prevents her from being truly present with Jesus and causes her to drive a wedge between her sister and herself. And between Jesus and herself, she has missed out on the one thing needed for true hospitality. There is no greater hospitality than listening to your guest. And how much more so when the guest is Jesus. In her eagerness to serve Jesus, she has almost missed the opportunity to know Jesus. Understandably, in her preparations, she wanted nothing less than the very best for Jesus. However, while our world may applaud achievements, God desires companionship. So often the world clamours and says, do more, be all that you can be the best, be the very best. But our Father whispers, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The one thing needed is for Martha to receive the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words, to know she is valued, not for what she does or how she does it, but for who she is, a child of God. For the closer we draw to the heart of Jesus, the more we see his heart for the world. Luke's story is left suspended. We do not know what happened next. whether Mary and Martha were reconciled, whether they were all able to enjoy the meal that Martha had prepared, whether Martha was finally able to sit and give her full attention to Jesus. We do know, however, that Jesus invites all of us who are worried and distracted by many things to sit and rest in his presence, to hear his words of grace and truth, to know that we are loved and valued as children of God, to be renewed in strength and strengthened in faith, to be renewed in faith, sorry, and strengthened for service. Jesus accepts us just as we are. Jesus is the one who can give us a Mary heart in the Martha world. He calls and transforms both Mary and Martha, and he does that for ourselves as well. But at another level, there is a deeper meaning to this story. There is a larger narrative in Luke chapter 10, and indeed in the whole of his gospel. Luke seems more aware than some of the other gospel writers of the stories featuring women. We have Elizabeth encouraging the pregnant Mary in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, Anna and the prophet greeting the infant Jesus in chapter 2. We have recorded the financial support given by prominent women for Jesus' travels in chapter 8. Women supporting Jesus on his road to the cross in chapter 3. And there are stories in Luke's gospel that's not recorded in other gospels. The woman and the lost coin in chapter 15. The widow pestering a judge for her rights in chapter 18. The theologian and writer Tom Wright suggests we would be wrong to see Martha and Mary just as one active and one contemplative expressions of Christian service and experience. Both are important and both have their place. He suggests the real issue for Martha was not that she needed help in the kitchen, but that Mary was behaving as if she was a man. In those days, houses were divided, male and female spaces. Mary crosses an invisible but an important boundary in the house, and also a boundary within the social world of the time. What is more, she was sitting at the feet of a teacher as a student, learning from the master. Mary was assuming the posture of a disciple here by sitting at the feet of a rabbi. Who does she think she was? Radically, Jesus affirms her right to do so. As we've already noted, the passage that precedes our story is the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. Here, an expert of the law asks Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus points to what is written in the law. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." In response to the expert's subsequent clarification of who is my neighbour, Jesus tells the story of a Jewish man who is attacked and robbed and left to die on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Surprisingly, the man who comes to his rescue is not the priest or the Levite, but a Samaritan. And yet the Samaritans and Jews were enemies. They despised each other. In other words, a neighbour is anyone in need, and this crosses all geographical, national and cultural boundaries. God's grace and love is for the whole world, not just for Israel or for a particular group of people. Just as this parable points to a new vision of the kingdom of God, so our Mary and Martha passage talks about another boundary-breaking call of Jesus. It challenges the social norms and etiquette of the time. He was redrawing the boundaries between men and women within Israel, blurring lines that had been laid down at the time. God's love, God's grace, and God's compassion is for the whole world and for everyone without exception. And as we look at Luke's gospel, we cannot fail to notice in the wider narrative and in the other gospels that Jesus is in the business of breaking down barriers, and that he seems to make headway towards the least in the society at the time. A headway towards the excluded, the vulnerable, those without a voice, the poor, the needy, the marginalised, the children, the widow, the sick, the outsider, the oppressed, the disadvantaged, the downtrodden. These are the people that Jesus heads for in his ministry. So significantly, as we reflect on Jesus's visit to Mary and Martha's house, maybe we should also very much be focusing on the question, are we like Jesus? Are we like Jesus? Moreover, what does Jesus's life and ministry say about what the shape of the church's ministry should look like, and what our lives, ministry, and our service should look like? Where should our priorities lie? In the busyness of life, are we making the right choices? Just as Jesus, under pressure, withdrew to spend time with his Father, are we doing the same? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this powerful story and its message. Help us to examine our everyday lives and be honest with ourselves about our impact on others. Help us to learn from Jesus, to spend time with him and be more like him. Show, help, and guide us into making good choices in our lives, our ministry, and our service. And help us to run our schedules and not let our schedules run us. Amen.